Welcome to the May 30th Virtual Memorial Day Service of the Unitarian Universalist Congregation in Blacksburg, Virginia. The service is led by our minister, Reverend Pam Phillips, and worship associate, Ellen Plummer. The theme for the service is Stories of War.
Welcome to the Unitarian Universalist Congregation of the New River Valley. Our centering quote today comes from Maya Angelou. How important it is for us to recognize and celebrate our heroes and sheroes. Here's our order of service today. If you'd like to keep track of where we're going, you can find a link in the chat for our order of service. And I will stop sharing my screen right now and let you know that I am the Reverend Pam Phillips, and I'm honored to be the minister and serve this congregation. In a moment, I will invite you to click on the chat and tell us where you are worshiping from this morning. But first, let me go ahead and sound the bowl. And as you are chatting and letting us know where you are this morning, I'm going to invite a special guest. Our worship associate, Ellen Plummer, is actually in the house. So here's Ellen.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Ellen Plummer, and it's my pleasure to be today's worship associate with Rev Pam. I'd like to extend a very special welcome to all of us today. You are welcome here, whoever you are, whomever you love, however you express your identity. No matter where you are on your spiritual path, we welcome you here today. If you're with us for the very first time, we're very glad that you joined us and that you have found us. Please fill out our virtual visitor's card. The link is in our chat, and we would love and be happy to be in touch with you. We also invite you to join us at the end of the service when we will be put into smaller groups so we can introduce ourselves to one another, say hello, and welcome you, especially if you are new. You are also able to join a number of a variety of UUC groups virtually and on our grounds throughout the week. Check out our events calendar on the website for times and Zoom links. And thank you, as always, to all of our wonderful volunteers who so generously make these activities possible. Later in today's service, we will be lifting up our joys and sorrows. And we invite you, if you have a joy or a sorrow that you would like read aloud this morning, to take a look in the chat. There is a link there where you can tell us what your joy or your sorrow is. And now another special guest, Rev Pam, is going to tell us about our announcements.
So I do want to lift up a couple of announcements. You can see here from this list that there are lots of things happening here on the grounds and on Zoom. Today, the men's group, which has met virtually for the last year plus, will be meeting for the first time in person on the grounds in the picnic area. If you are a member of the men's group and want to continue to Zoom in, I think they're going to still have that Zoom option, but they'll be gathering at 11:35 today. The other thing that's really important and special is that next week is our annual flower service. So I invite you to send flowers photos. Photos of you with flowers or just the flowers in your life so that we can have that for our virtual bouquet. But we're going to have an actual bouquet too. So between 10 and 2 o'clock on Saturday, I invite you to bring a flower or two to add to our congregational bouquet. If those times don't work for you, but you want to contribute, please let me know and I'll be happy to make arrangements. So I think that is all I wanted to lift up. And now I'll invite Ellen to light our chalice.
Our chalice lighting this morning is in honor of Memorial Day, and our words are by Charles Flagg. In honor of those we have known and loved in the past, in recognition of the gifts and sacrifices they have made on our behalf, and in our sincere hopes that we may be worthy of their memory, we light our candles, we give our thanks, and we offer our prayers. Our opening words today are by Reverend Heather Janules. We come this day, called by war, by the suffering we inflict and endure. When minds across borders fail to reason and compromise. We come this day called by loss, the deaths of those who serve in our name, those whose lives end before their natural course, in service to a cause greater than their own. We come this day called by hope, hope that we will in some season finally surrender our swords for plowshares. And we come this day called by peace. May we hear its song. May we proclaim its promise. May our remembrance today renew our struggle. We can never stay or rest. Please join me in reading our congregational covenant. You'll find the words on the screen. We covenant to create a place of respect and kindness and to build a spiritual community based on reason and courageous love. We will listen to one another respectfully, assume good intentions, use the power of our words with care, express gratitude, honor our differences, help one another, and welcome all. We will communicate directly, honestly, and compassionately. When we hurt one another, we will forgive, make amends, and reconnect. While we celebrate the words of our mission statement and of this covenant, we affirm that our mission lives through our actions.
And now, because this is the month of story, we have a story to share. This was written by my colleague, the Reverend Chris Bice. And just so you know, we are both fully vaccinated.
Yes, we are.
So once there was a little girl who was queen of an island. One day, an advisor said to her, "Your Majesty, the people on this island are good, but we must beware of the people on the island, on the next island, for they are our enemies."
"Our enemies?" responded the queen. "How perfectly terrible."
"Yes, it is terrible," said the advisor. "For our little island will never be safe while we have enemies. We must find a way to get rid of our enemies."
Oh dear, you are quite right," said the queen. "Do you have any ideas?"
"I do indeed," said the advisor. "We can take our army, put it on a ship, sail to the other island, and then our army can march on shore and destroy the enemy."
The queen was not so sure this was a good idea. "Thank you, my dear advisor, for sharing your ideas," said the queen. "But I need some more time to think about it. Can you come back tomorrow?"
"Sure. Yes, Your Majesty," said the advisor. And he bowed and left the room. The next day, when the advisor returned to talk to the queen, he was shocked to find her having tea with the queen of the next island.
The advisor turned red with anger. How can you sit there and drink tea with that person? He shouted. She is our enemy. We must get rid of our enemies.
The queen looked at her advisor with eyes that were calm and steady. You have been a good advisor, she said, and you were right. We have to get rid of our enemies. You would have me destroy our enemies by conquering them with an army. But the best way to get rid of your enemies is to make them your friends. One way our congregation puts our principles into practice is through collecting an offering that we share with other community organizations. This week, we will be sharing half of our collection with the Service Dogs of Virginia, a nonprofit organization that raises, trains, and places dogs to assist people with disabilities. One of their programs provides service dogs for active duty or veteran service members, as well as first responders who suffer from post-traumatic stress disorder that is service or work related. Highly trained dogs perform a multitude of tasks that allow greater personal freedom and independence. They serve clients residing in the Commonwealth of Virginia and are based in Charlottesville. There are several ways that you can give, either now or after service. One way is to follow the link to our online giving in the chat. You can also use the Give Plus app, or you can text the word fund to the phone number in the order of service. If these tools are new to you, you can find more information about how to use them in the order of service and in our announcements. And in honor of Kimberly, I will say you can also do it like she and I do, which is to send a check. Please join me as we accept our offerings. We accept these offerings in support of our congregation and our larger community, recognizing always that in giving and receiving, we participate in a circle of care with no beginning and no end.
Later in the service, we'll have an opportunity to light candles of hope and remembrance. But for now, I'd like us to settle in for a time of meditation and prayer. So, ground yourself in whatever way helps you to hear the words of the prayer. You might soften your shoulders, take a breath, maybe close your eyes. This is a prayer written by my colleague, the Reverend Kristen Grassel Schmidt. Spirit of life. This Memorial Day weekend, we hold in reverent memory all those whose lives have been cut short while serving in the armed forces. We pause to honor their service, whether they signed up willingly or were drafted, whether they agreed with what they were fighting for or not. We pause today to lift up their families and friends, neighborhoods and communities that will never be the same because they are gone. We pause also to pray for those who are serving today, for their safety and for this country to honor their service with good pay and services and benefits. We pause today to lift up the many who have returned home from battle, bearing physical and emotional scars, and to remember the many who leave the battlefield only for that battlefield never to leave them. We pause in the midst of busy daily lives to gather in worship, this thing we do each week which binds us together, expands our horizons, helps us remember our connection to all that is, and draws our focus to the things of deepest worth in our lives and our world. We pray not because prayer is magic that defies the laws of the universe, not because we all have the same beliefs about prayer or who or what we're praying to, but because prayer is a Unitarian Universalist practice that can change our hearts, our receptivity to one another, and the love and justice at work all around us. And so, in our time of worship together, we pray for peace. In this precious time together, we form a guiding vision of a world where we no longer ask people to sacrifice their bodies in order to manage international conflict. Many of us yearn for peace. Our world is thirsty for peace. And yet, as it has been said, there is no real peace without justice. Too often, peace is the word we use when what we really mean is a willingness to ignore a history of wrongs so we won't have to face the truth and all the ways that truth will ask us to change. But real peace is deeper than that. It means more than a momentary suspension of hard conversation for the sake of political posturing. Peace is more profound than the silent treatment, the tension that exists when it's too hard to engage the real issues. Real peace is deeper than any lull between shouting matches or battles or bombardments. Real peace, the peace that doesn't pass our understanding, can flower only where justice has deep roots. This Memorial Day weekend, we pray for the courage and commitment to do what it takes to nurture the roots of justice in our own lives, in our own small corners of this world. We pray for the patience to stick with them, even when it's all in vain, the assurance that our efforts matter, that they are part of a larger whole. May the truth that sings its own song in each of our hearts, the gratitude that leads us to share our abundance with others, the force that topples every tyrant, the power that fills the hungry with good things, be in us and with us, now and forever. May it be so, and may we make it so. Amen, and blessed be.
Today's reading is by Tim O'Brien from How to Tell a True War Story. A true war story is never moral. It does not instruct nor encourage virtue, nor suggest models of proper human behavior, nor restrain men from doing the things they have always done. If a war story seems moral, do not believe it. If at the end of a war story you feel uplifted, or if you feel that some small bit of rectitude has been salvaged from the larger waste, then you have been made the victim of a very old and terrible lie. There is no rectitude whatsoever. There is no virtue. As a first rule of thumb, therefore, you can tell a true war story by its absolute and uncompromising allegiance to obscenity and evil. You can tell it's a true war story if It embarrasses you.
The stories of war, the true stories of war, are never moral. So says Tim O'Brien, a veteran of the conflict in Vietnam. In the larger essay from which our reading comes, he describes scenes from what he sees as true stories of war. They are graphic. They are full of obscenities. They are not stories to tell on a Sunday morning, even though they are true. I've been intrigued by war stories since I was young. So many short stories and novels written out of the experiences the authors had as young men witnessing the horrors of war. They know something of life and death that most of us don't encounter in our day-to-day lives. A few years ago, I reflected on the poetry of war on Memorial Day, and I saw a shift in the themes over time. It seemed that the poets of earlier wars focused on courage and valor, but more recent wars spawned poems that were more raw and real, full of blood and guts and fear. The kind of war stories O'Brien might think are true, because they are not moral, but because they embarrass you. The first sermon I ever wrote was about the uneasy relationship pacifists have with war and soldiers. How do we reconcile our love for the people in our lives who are in the military, who are fighting in wars? It came out of my experience with two beloved cousins who were serving in Iraq in the early 2000s. Knowing that someone I loved was in harm's way gave me a more visceral understanding of the anxiety and fear that countless families and friends have experienced throughout history in times of war. But my time of anxiety was relatively short and eased by the occasional letter or email assuring me that they were safe and unharmed. I got one special letter on the back of an MRE box from Iraq. And both of my cousins came home. As Unitarian Universalists, we have had an uneasy relationship with Memorial Day because of our objections to war. We don't want to glorify war or focus on the sacrifices of these young men and women made for their country, for our country. But like many memorial services, Memorial Day is as much for the living as for the dead. It is a time for us to think not only of those young men and women and their sacrifices, but also for those they left behind, their loved ones, and especially their comrades, the soldiers who didn't die, the ones who came home. I think of the reception Vietnam veterans received when they came home. People's hatred of what they believed was an unjust war translated into shunning and even attacking those who fought it. Instead of returning to honor and glory, they were left to process the trauma of war in isolation. What a thing. And remember who those soldiers were. While some volunteered, many were drafted, which led to disproportionate numbers of Black and poor men, unable to evade the draft through educational or other deferments, through privilege. We may not know anyone who died in service to this country because of our privilege. All the more reason to listen to the stories of war, the true ones that are hard to hear or to read or to watch on TV or in movies. To learn some things about life and death that we don't often encounter in our lives.
that our privilege shields us from. To understand, if only intellectually, but sometimes emotionally and spiritually, the costs of war. I got an email early this morning that was way too long to read. I'll get to it though, but it started, "Dear Reverend Phillips, I am not interested in the service to discuss the stories of war before Memorial Day. At best, I think it is a time for you use to celebrate the work of peace activists throughout the unfolding of the United States. For once, I would like to celebrate Memorial Day through the lens of the history of peacemakers." So I got that email too late for me to change what I was going to say today, maybe next year. But at its heart, any story about war is a story about the necessity for peacemaking, isn't it? I've heard from several other people this past week who offered food for thought for this morning. Some of the veterans in this congregation shared that Memorial Day made them think about relatives who had died, uncles and grandfathers and fathers. It made them think of Arlington National Cemetery. I'm so grateful to my colleague, Reverend Heather Janule, who shared the video we watched with images of headstones there with chalices, reminding us that among those who are honored on Memorial Day are Unitarian Universalists. I also heard from others who had stories of uncles and fathers who fought in wars. Some of us have been surprised by the connections we have with those who died in service. Christine Reed shared a story about one of her father's best friends in high school. She discovered his story while doing her family history research. She writes, "It was jolting when I read in Ancestry.com documents that Richard went missing in action during World War II after his bomber was shot down over Austria in February 1945, just 7 months after he married and left home to serve in the war. He had been in the 815th Bomber Squadron and received the Air Medal and a Purple Heart. His marker is at the tablets of the missing at the Florence American Cemetery in Florence, Italy. His wife never remarried and they had no children, so there are no direct descendants." Christine goes on, "Tears came to my eyes reading these facts from so long ago. I imagine it must have been difficult for my father learning of his friend's tragedy. I don't recall my father ever mentioning anything about this. But perhaps he did, and it just didn't have the impact on me that it has at this stage of my life." She also sent me this picture. She writes, "How poignant that Richard's yearbook quote was, 'Why worry? Another day tomorrow.' He didn't get the tomorrows he deserved." So if you know of no one else, perhaps tomorrow you can remember Richard. And just the other day, my Uncle Mac sent me this picture of George McCoy, my great uncle and the original Uncle Mac, who held the rank of captain in the Army Air Corps in January of 1941. But by the spring of 1943, he was a brigadier general at 39, which is how old he is in this picture. And he was serving at the Pentagon. He also served in the South Pacific out of Northern Australia and then Guadalcanal. And after the war in the Canal Zone, in 1950, he was the base commander and commander of the first fighter wing located at George Air Force Base in Victorville, California. In October of that year, he was killed while piloting a jet fighter. I knew I had this connection to Memorial Day, but now I have a face and some of his story to remember. Then I talked to Bernie Mayer the other day. He's a veteran. And he shared that he'd recently discovered that he has connections to sailors who died on the German battleship, the Bismarck, that was sunk by the British Navy in May of 1941 in the North Atlantic near France, which means his ancestors fought on both sides of the Second World War. What a thing. Some of us may not have stories of war to remember on this Memorial Day, but we are all connected. And I invite you to imagine how you are connected. What story of war belongs to you, either through your ancestors or the friends of your parents and friends? Because as Unitarian Universalists, we know we are all connected. Memorial Day, perhaps one way we can commemorate it and honor those who died is to uncover those connections, to learn those stories, and to remember them. And now I invite you all to share the names of those whom you will remember this Memorial Day, along with any hopes or remembrances you'd like to share today. Write them in the chat, and Ellen will light a candle here in the sanctuary. And so, who will you remember? Please light a candle for Isabel, who remembers Leo Shields. Bob Stimson asks, please light a candle for Brother John. Jane Keppel Benson asks, please light a candle for Dave Parsons. Victoria writes that Bernard remembers his schoolmate, Steve Wilson. Walt Peary writes, Uncle Jack Peary, killed in Italy during World War II. Bill Conk writes, William and Raymond Bell. Sharon writes, Vernon Albert, Jody Jones, please light candles. Christine says, please light a candle for Richard Neumedal, my dad's best friend, shot down over Austria. Carolyn Jim say, please light a candle in honor of my dad, Carl Hansen, a Korean War veteran, and in memory of Jim's dad, John Kern, World War II veteran, and his brother, Wesley Kern, a Vietnam veteran. Jennifer Bailey asks for a candle for great Uncle Chris, who died in a Japanese prison camp. Fred and Susan and Adrian ask for a candle for Charles McCartney, who died in Normandy. Doug and Sally ask for a candle for Phil Tingley, my cousin lost in Vietnam. Alan asks for a candle for his dad, Robert Alan Moore. Darla Bray asks for a candle for my father, who went to World War II as hopeful newlywed and returned with PTSD, never the same. Barbara Smith asks, light a candle for my dad, Robert Richter, who died as a POW in Russia. Barbara Taylor asked for four candles, please. for my father-in-law, Harry Taylor, and my three uncles, James Lemon, Leland Chandler, and especially Abel Hooten, who struggled mostly silently through his life with memories of having been among those who liberated a concentration camp. Frank Matthews asked for my namesake, Francis Earl Matthews, a World War II navigator. George writes, George Lally writes, my uncle James Kennedy, USMC, veteran of the Pacific War, including Iwo Jima, and came home with PTSD. Liz Crane writes, Uncle Jack Toole, shot down over the Zuider Zee in World War II. Tom Beebe asked for three candles. George H. Beebe, father, Seabees and Marines, World War II. Uncle Leonard Anderson, U.S. Army Air Corps, World War II. Brother Douglas G. Beebe, U.S. Navy submariner in the 1970s. Casey Arsenault asks, please light a candle for my parents, Paul and Ruth, who were both survivors of the attack on Pearl Harbor. Beth McClellan says, please light candles for my father, Roy McClellan, and Uncle Don McClellan, World War II veterans. And Jane Keppel Benson asks, please light a candle for Mark's beloved stepfather, Bill Payton. And for Bernie Mayer, please light a candle for his cousin, Ronnie Cole. UU Duo, I'm not sure who that is, writes, my father, Carl, who served in the Navy in World War I, my brother, Carl, who served in the Navy in World War II, my grandson, Kip, who served in the Army in Iraq and returned home a changed man. That is from Dick Bauman. I'll ask for a candle for my great uncle George and for my cousins, Corey and Kelly. Ellen asked for a candle for Liz's brother-in-law, and his name is Bob Hunter. And George reminds me that I am not the only one who is crying. Let us light a final candle. Not a final, let's light a candle for those men and women in this congregation who served in our armed forces. We are grateful for your service and glad that you returned home. Another candle for all those joys and sorrows, hopes and remembrances that are left unspoken, but we share in our hearts. We extinguish our chalice, but not the warmth of this community and not the hopes for peace. Let us carry those in our hearts and let our hopes lead our actions.